Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. And we would like to extend a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a very memorable worship service and that you will come back to visit us often. I want to ask that visitors and members alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. Pass them back to the center aisle, and the person on the center, please tear those sheets off and place them in the offering plates. Our Parents' Morning Out is scheduled to begin on Wednesday, January 4th, 2006. It will be Wednesday mornings from 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock. The cost is a $25 tuition or registration fee, and tuition will be $60 per month. We still need 8 more children to make that program viable, so if you are interested in that and would like to sign up for that, please contact the church office as soon as possible. Also, this Thursday night at 6:30 p.m., we will have a Light in the Darkness service. And this is a service for those that are struggling with the Christmas season, that have grief of some type and struggling with the season itself. This is not a service just for those individuals, but is a service for you to come and help those individuals with their struggle. So we hope to have a full sanctuary for that service this Thursday night at 6:30. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? O come, let us adore Him, whose coming was announced by the prophets. O come, let us adore Him, whose message was proclaimed by the angels. O come, let us adore Him, whose glory was hailed by the shepherds. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Eternal God, before whose power we bow in awe, we thank you for the majesty and grandeur of your creation. But even more, and above all, we thank you for the revelation of your glory and grace in Jesus Christ. In him you kindled the hope for a new life in a new world. Let that hope be reborn in us today. Amen.
This is hard for me. I am not the man of words. I am an ordinary man, a carpenter. My name is Joseph. I would rather speak with my hands, with a mallet and chisel. I can read the grain of newly planed lumber. I can hammer pegs straight and true. I understand the softness of wood and its firmness. I know how to fit corners, how to bevel edges, how to join strength to strength, and how to bolster weakness. I have a craft. I make useful things, beautiful things, and I sell them. I work hard. I live in a village. You will have not heard of it. Nazareth in Galilee. And this is strange business, strange from this start to now. For I know it is not finished. It may never be finished. I don't understand what has happened. I just don't understand. Look, I am a righteous man. When I first heard about the baby, I was going to dismiss her quietly, so as not to bring dishonor on her, but surely you see that I could not continue the marriage plans. Then I had a dream. No one knows about this. You won't say anything, will you? I had a dream, an incredible dream. This angel came to me in a dream, and I swear it, I told no one, but he told me not to be afraid. Afraid of what, I said. Afraid of making Mary your wife, said the angel. Why, I said. Because she is going to bear you a son that will also be your father. Don't speak to me in riddles, I said. The child is conceived of the Holy Spirit, the angel said. You will call him Jesus, Savior, for he will save his people from all their sins. Now, and this is the incredible part. I believed him. And I did what he commanded. I am taking Mary to be my wife. And last night I saw a wondrous thing. My world is not the same, cannot ever be the same. I saw a baby born, my son, my firstborn. And yet, he was my father, my Lord, my hope, the living Word.
At this time, I would like Coach Shel Dula to come forward to speak to us about our stewardship campaign. And as he comes forward, I want to ask you to, if you have not already received your mailing about our stewardship campaign, to watch the mail. You will receive a letter explaining how next week we will have a personal consecration Sunday in which you keep your pledge card at home, but we ask you to come forward and bring yourself to the altar to consecrate your time, your talents, the care of your body, and your money to God's use for next year.
What is the greatest thought that has ever passed through your head? That question was asked of Daniel Webster, And Daniel Webster replied, "My accountability to God." Again, what is the greatest thought that has ever passed through your head? His answer, "My accountability to God." As we think about stewardship, we think about stewardship in many lights. Steve did a great job 2 weeks ago talking about stewardship of time. And then Glenn and Lisa did a great job last week talking about stewardship as it refers to our giving and the fact that God wants our first fruits and He wants that first check that we write to be to Him. Today we'd like to talk just a moment about our stewardship of talents. And certainly this church, Main Street United Methodist Church, is a tremendously talented church. Jesus is very specific to us what He wants from us as it pertains to our talents. There's a parable where Jesus talks about three people and they're given talents. And one of them has a talent and he buries it in the ground. And of course that talent is taken away from him. Others are given numerous talents and they use their talents. And that's certainly what God wants us to do and what Jesus is telling us through that parable. We're blessed with so many talents. There's so many talented people in our church. And the talents differ in so many ways. It may be the talent to sing. And of course, we have an outstanding choir that does a great job every Sunday. And they're using their God-given talents to proclaim God's Word. Or it may be the talent to do the children's sermon that we've seen done so well many times. It may be a talent to teach the children or teach the youth or maybe an adult class, or it may be a talent dealing with finance and to be able to keep the finances of the church straight. Or it may be simply being able to cook a beautiful meal and being able to use that talent to spread God's Word. Or it may be like some of us and have a talent of being able to wash dishes and to clean up after the meals. Not being able to prepare them, but to clean them up. Or it may be visitation. But we all are blessed. We all have talents. And God is asking us, just like He asked us to use our time, and just like He asked us and wants us to give our money, He also wants us to give of our talents, to use the talents that He's blessed us with. Because all of us one day want to hear from Jesus or from God that statement, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. We gave you much, you gave back much." We all yearn to hear that statement. Paul said it a different way, a little bit different than Daniel Webster, but I think it says the same thing. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful." God, You blessed us in so many ways. Help us to remain faithful and help us to be accountable and help us to give back to You only a portion of what You've given us.
We thank You, Shell. And as we come to our concerns before our prayer time, we add to our concern list Ruby Minor. We understand she is in the hospital as we speak. Louise Arnold, who is home. Granger Smith, who will have some surgery this coming week. Effie Adams, who is in hospital. And Judy Connell's aunt, Nancy Wilson, who had a hip repair on Friday. Those concerns added to the concerns we have printed and our personal concerns, let us lift them together up to God. Let us pray. Infinite God of unsearchable grace, come to us this morning even as we seek to know and understand and live Your Word. You who spoke to our ancestors through angels and prophets filled with Your Spirit, speak to us now through these songs and prayers and preaching. Make Yourself known to Your people. We tremble at the thought that You could be here now in our midst. Calm our fears. Calm our fears, O God, even as you speak among us. Open our hearts, soften our hearts, make yourself known. And Lord, give us joy and light in our darkness. Father, we do pray now for those who are ill, for those who are troubled, for those who are anxious, for those who feel nothing at all, for those who can barely remember the childlike joy of hope we once had. We pray for the world and its trouble, for the victims of storm and dislocation and war, for those who are grieving today, for those who are fearful, for those who are hungry, for those who are wandering without a home. Father, give us hope and joy, and help us to be your hands for hope and joy among those who are giving up. And we do also pray for the leaders of the nations of this world and for the problems beyond one man or woman or nation can heal. Father, we feel that something is broken, that creation is out of joint. Come as our Creator, as our Redeemer, and make us new and whole and able to see your light and your love in the darkness of this world. Father, in this holy moment, we do lift up the private prayers of our hearts before you. Hear now our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll ask the children to come forward now for the children's time with Lorraine Stockman.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm going to read this morning one of my family's favorite Christmas stories. I'm going to let you watch over here. You'll be able to see the pictures better in this book. It's a bigger book. It's called, if y'all want to move around there so you can see the pictures. It's called Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree. Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree came by special delivery. Full and fresh and glistening green, the biggest tree he'd ever seen. He dashed downstairs to open the door. This was the moment he'd waited for. A magnificent tree! Splendid, he cried. Please, sir, won't you carry it right inside? I think it might look best this year, right in the parlor corner here. But once the tree stood in its place, Mr. Willoughby made a terrible face. The tree touched the ceiling, then bent like a bow. Oh, good heavens, he gasped. Something must go. Baxter the butler was called on in haste to chop off the top, though it seemed quite a waste. That's great, Mr. Willoughby cried with glee. Now we can start to trim my tree. So it was presented to Miss Adelaide, Mr. Willoughby's upstairs maid. Won't this tree be a pretty sight when I have it trimmed later tonight? But the top, oh dear, I'm so afraid, will have to be cut, sighed Miss Adelaide. And so with scissors sharp and long, she snipped off the top while she hummed a song. The top was set out the very next day in back of the house to be thrown away. That little treetop caught the eye of Tim, the gardener, passing by. He certainly was not about to see the little tree thrown out. He hurried it right home straight away to see what Mrs. Tim would say. Fa-la-la-la-la, surprise, surprise, his wife could not believe her eyes. But our house, she said, is so snug and small, I do not believe we need it all. And before Tim had a chance to shout, she cut off the top and threw it out. Barnaby Bear was padding by. It almost hit him in the eye. Now who would throw a tree away so very close to Christmas Day? I'll take it home. That's what I'll do. Look, Mama Bear, I've a present for you. Isn't it a pretty tree? Yawned Mama Bear quite drowsily. Before we go to sleep this year, let's have a Christmas party, dear. But Little Bear, standing off far, cried out, that tree won't hold a star. Barnaby said, let's cut a hunk off at the bottom here at the trunk. But Mama Bear just shook her head and sliced the treetop off instead. Jolly by golly, Barney said with a kick, Mama, this surely is the right trick. Let's trim it with bells and honey rings, some berries and tinsels and popcorn on strings. Mama said, trim it as you like. I've got to tidy up for the night. This top we won't need anymore. I'll put it just outside the door. Later on that night, Frisky Fox came into sight. He spied the treetop, rubbed his chin, opened his sack, and stuffed the top in. He scampered home and jumped his gate. This Christmas present couldn't wait. It's even better than mincemeat pie, said Mrs. Fox with a happy sigh. Then the foxes saw that their Christmas prize was a wee bit oversized. There, my dears, now don't you worry, I'll fix this top now in a hurry. Benjamin Rabbit found it then, just outside the fox's den. It seems, he thought, most certainly, Santa left that for my family. Look, he cried, see the tree I found? With that, he called his family round. Then there was merrymaking, rollicking, frolicking, carrot-shaking, celebration around the tree. All were happy as rabbits could be. Benjamin Rabbit, with his own hand, sliced a carrot and made a stand. Now let's see how this will look in our little chimney nook. But right away the children cried, look, it's leaning off to one side. It's too tall, that's all, said Mrs. Rabbit, and as though it were a summer carrot, she gave it a chop and threw away the top. Then Mistletoe Mouse just happened to see that tiny tip of a Christmas tree. He pulled it through the snow and ice, up some stairs. He fell down twice. At last he reached his cozy house. It's just the right size, said Mrs. Mouse. Then at the top, if you please, they put a star made out of cheese. Oh, wasn't it grand to have a tree exactly like Mr. Willoughby? Did you all know that every one of us has a top of a Christmas tree that we just throw out? Now, I'm not just talking about that tree that you have at home that's decorated where you just snipped it off because it wouldn't fit in your house. I'm talking about those things that we just get rid of. The things that really mean something to somebody else that we thought were useless or maybe just not too important. It could be maybe that toy that we no longer played with, or it could be some clothes that we no longer could fit in anymore. It could be something as simple as us giving away a smile or a hug, and us not realizing just how important that hug or smile was to the receiver. It's important for us to remember how blessed we are as Christians. We need to be continually sharing our blessings, no matter how big or how small they are, with other people. Let's bow for a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your many blessings. Help us to share, even the small things with others. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Let us pass the peace. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us a portion to meet our needs and for every good cause. Bless these tithes and returns to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones, and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, in remembrance of His mercy, according to the promise He made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." There is a little noticed actor in Jesus' birth, the very Spirit of God. The Spirit inspired a lot of singing around Jesus' birth. Zechariah hears he is going to be a daddy and sings. Mary hears she is going to be a mommy and sings. Elizabeth sings. Simeon sings. Even the angels sing. They sang as prophets. All through the Old Testament, the way a prophet became a prophet was that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and gave them words to say or to sing. Elizabeth took a turn at prophet. When she was filled with the Holy Spirit and she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then it was her husband Zechariah's turn. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." And what of Mary? When she echoed the prophets who spoke of a day when God would turn this unjust and uncaring world upside down, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." God is coming as Savior. And this is good news for those who know they need a Savior, who know they are broken off from God and broken off from others, broken in spirit and need help and need healing and need God. To such as these, God is Savior and good news. But to those who are proud in the imagination of their hearts, who think they need nothing and no one, who worship self alone, these God will scatter. Mary continues, "And He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. And He will fill the hungry with good things, and the rich He will send away empty." This is Mary, magnifying the Lord. We call it the Magnificat. Back before India won its independence from British rule, Bishop William Temple of the Anglican Church warned his missionaries in India not to ever read this Magnificat in public. He feared that it would be so inflammatory that it might start a revolution. Yes, Mary was a prophet of God's coming justice and change, of God's salvation. To those who clinged to God's grace, it meant eternal life. And to those who clung to the things of this world and to themselves only, scattering and sent empty away. The shalom, in Hebrew the peace, the enough, the healing, the wholeness, the intimate relationship between God and His people was going to be reestablished. And those who trust only in themselves and only in their own merits or only in their own wealth are cut off from caring or connection to God or to others, and they have had their reward, they are sent away empty when the Savior comes. Those who think they need nothing from God, it seems, get nothing from God. But a heart softened by God's Spirit knows that things are wrong, that all have sinned and fallen away, fallen in many different ways, but from God and away from each other. We cry, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. This world has no peace, no shalom. And there are so many without enough, and there are so many without anyone who cares, but then there are many others who build bigger barns for their bumper crops and never think of sharing. Sharing what they think is their salvation, but is nothing but dust and rust. This world has no shalom. This world is grabbing and judging and tearing and biting and fighting and blaming and walking away and forgetting the suffering of others. This is not what God had in mind from the beginning. The Savior who is coming will begin to set things aright, to put things into perspective, to teach what matters most and what cannot save. These are hard words and joyful words, depending on who you are and how you hear them. Those who are full of themselves have had their reward. Those who thought all their gifts were for them and them only and did not hear the cry of the needy will be brought down, will be scattered, will be sent away empty. But those who had almost given up hope, or who had hope only in God, only God and no one else to hope in, they will be raised up and filled with good things, be given peace and shalom. All this through the child that Mary bore, the Savior. It is true that in the Old Testament, the prophets gave God's word only when the Spirit was upon them. And Jesus Himself said at His first synagogue sermon, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor." By the Spirit, the prophets spoke. When the Spirit, I need you to listen for just a second. When the Spirit of the Holy, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, more than mere words came from her mouth, the very Word of God came forth from her womb in flesh. This is the message in all its earthiness, in all its physicality, in all its scandal, in all the power of Jesus' birth. By the Holy Spirit, Mary did more than speak words. She gave birth to God's Word made flesh. The Word was made flesh through Mary. Jesus, who lived out and spoke and embodied and died and was resurrected in God's will and as God's Word incarnate. The good news to those who know they need it. The good news to those who know that self and things of dust and rust cannot save nor ever make for peace. The good news is that God's Word, acting, living, breathing out His Spirit on all people, came in Jesus Christ. We are not helpless. We are not hopeless. We are not alone. God has come to us. We are not left alone in a meaningless, brutish, biting, fighting world for walls and wealth and security and bigger barns. There is more. We can know the love of God who forgives and loves us and then enables us to forgive and love ourselves and care more for others than for things. Change, growth, recreation happens when God breathes on us, in us, overshadows us, plants His seed in our hearts. Then we can see God's light. And in our eyes we can see with God's light that we are all one creation, and that we all sin, and that we all die. But yet beyond these facts, we all have hope through Jesus Christ. Mary's proclamation is uncompromisingly clear. Christmas means the shattering of all idolatries. It means unrelenting resistance to every force or institution or thing that presumes to play the role of God. From the revelation of John, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Amen. want to share with you now a little-known story and a little-spoken-of story about Simeon from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well." John Donne wrote, "I shall not live until I see God, and when I have seen Him, I shall never die." We so often hear about an older person who is gravely ill, just hanging on, waiting until some beloved someone arrives, and then they go. And in a way, that is Simeon's story, almost forgotten in the Gospels. At 8 days old, they took little baby Jesus to the temple for the Jewish ritual of circumcision. It was a sign of the covenant. And here's where the story gets interesting. While they were there fulfilling the ordinary Jewish law and the ritual, something very unusual happened. God had inspired a man named Simeon to meet them there. And in three short verses, the Holy Spirit is mentioned three times. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so, inspired by the Spirit, he came to the temple. Very unusual. And even more unusual is that Simeon is almost left out of the Christmas story. Some regular Sunday church members don't even know his name. Please do remember just how dark the world was back then. In a military-occupied Jerusalem, Jews like Simeon were under constant threat of violence. They were mocked for their beliefs. There was mistrust, and there was intrigue, and there was sellouts among the Jewish population who became tax collectors for the local occupying army. Nobody knew who to trust, and they thought it might all blow up any minute. This is the world that Simeon waited in to see God's Messiah before he died. It's 2,000 plus years later. How long will it take before we see? We cannot and can never bring peace, not with our best intentions, not with our most powerful armies or our cleverest politicians. We as a people, as a humanity, are fatally flawed, fallen from the image of God. We do cry peace, but there is no peace. We cry, "God, save my people, my nation, my children," and so does the other side, and so does the other side. Do not miss that inspired Simeon calls Jesus more than the consolation of Israel. He says, "My eyes have seen thy salvation prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and for the glory of thy people Israel." He is unequivocally a Savior for all people. Israel knew long ago that nothing less than God's direct intervention would do. The wisdom of the wise will not save us. The cleverness of the clever will not save us. And Simeon stands in for all Israel, waiting in hope, and in the light and hope of non-Jews as well, for the Messiah, the Savior. And so hear in your heart Simeon's words, not just the words of a sentimental old man dying, but inspired by God's Spirit, he says, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and a glory to thy people Israel." And poor Mary, She was afraid when Gabriel showed up and told her she would bear child of the Holy Spirit, and she pondered these angelic words in her heart. We look backward and give her too much credit. Of course, she was faithful and righteous, but she could only know what she knew. And she couldn't understand all these things happening to her or understand this man, Simeon, in front of her, grabbing her child and saying, "I can die now. I have seen God's salvation." We see the whole story in our minds and we say, well, okay, we understand that. But Mary and Joseph saw an old man grasping their 8-day-old son and prophesying, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and a sign that is spoken against and will reveal the inner thoughts of many hearts." And he looked at Mary and said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul as well." Just try to put yourself in Mary and Joseph's place. And don't skip the verse 33, "And his mother and father marveled at what was said to them." Give them permission to be puzzled and afraid and ponder these things. Faith and trust in God often demands holding on to God when things don't seem to make sense and the whole world breaks loose around us. God came as Savior to a nation weary of waiting, to a nation weary of war, to a people who from time to time tried on other exotic faiths because theirs didn't seem to be working anymore. Now God is still with us. And Jesus promised the presence of His Spirit with us until the very end. But sometimes it looks like the end. Who knows? Who knows how and when God will act? Mary and Joseph, we know, were surprised in this moment. The artist Giotto painted this encounter in his painting Presentation in the Temple. And according to art critic John Dixon, it's one of the few genuinely witty paintings in great art. Simeon in the picture holds the baby Jesus and his lips are moving beneath his gray beard, grayer than mine, I hope, carefully reciting his often rehearsed lines, "Nunc dimittis, now let thy servant depart in peace." And Giotto knows his Simeon. He also knows babies because in the picture, the infant Jesus is not resting contentedly in his arms. He's responding the way any baby would to an eccentric old stranger grabbing him. His dark eyes are narrowed and fixed in frozen alarm on Simeon, and he is reaching desperately in the painting for his mother, every muscle arched away from the strange old man. The artist also knows the deep truth of this moment. For in the picture, if you have seen it, we observe that the child is suspended above the temple altar. This very human baby is from the beginning the eternal sacrifice for the redemption of mankind. With Simeon, we rejoice and wait. Dick Van Dyke tells the story of a little boy who said that he figured out where babies get their belly buttons. You see, the little boy said, when God finishes making babies, he lines them up in a row and he says, "You're done, you're done, you're done." That's what he figured out. Well, with Simeon, we rejoice and we wait, but the point for us today is God is not done yet. We aren't done in our faith yet. Now we wait, but as we wait, we work out our faith as we wait, wondering what God will do next. Who knows how or who God will act through next? Faithfully wait and anticipate God acting through even such as me and you. Amen. Now receive this blessing. The love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Babe of Bethlehem, and the presence and the guidance and the courage and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you now and flow through you in your lives this moment and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.